be strength to you and the means of worshiping God. The author's name was Robert Murray, born in Scotland, 1832. He emigrated to Canada. The gospel call was upon him. He served the Lord in Halifax, Nova Scotia, as a pastor. He was personally acquainted with Charles Chiniquy, the converted Roman Catholic priest who wrote the two famous books, 50 Years in the Church of Rome and 40 Years in the Church of Christ. I highly recommend those books to you. Charles Chiniquy ministered in St. Anne, Illinois, south of Chicago. There was a French station or mission there, and he was instrumental in helping those people. But he also did preaching tours through Canada. And he was under severe attack by the Roman Catholic Church. And Robert Murray came to his defense, stood forcefully for God's servant, and stood very much opposing the false teaching and doctrine of Rome. And so the heritage that we have of faithful gospel ministers in Canada is great. Sometimes we may not take time just to investigate them as much as we should. Of course, this coming Thursday is Canada Day, Dominion Day, a day when we acknowledge and recognize the anniversary of our land. So as you look at these opening words on the screen before you, from ocean unto ocean, our land shall name you Lord, and filled with true devotion, obey your sovereign word. Our prairies and our mountains, the forest, fertile field, our rivers, lakes, and fountains, to you shall tribute yield. O Christ, for your own glory and for our country's weal, we humbly plead before you, yourself in us reveal. And may we know, Lord Jesus, the touch of your dear hand, and healed of our diseases, the tempter's power withstand. The great words, tremendous tribute. And as we sing today in worship to the Lord, let's do so thinking also with thanksgiving for the great land that God has given to us. We'll stand to worship.
Thank you.
Let's bow our hearts before the Lord now in prayer. Father, with these majestic words, the prayer of our heart, as we begin our service this morning, Lord, we plead once again for the necessary help of the Holy Spirit to worship aright, to pray correctly, to have the right spirit, Lord. We come in Jesus' name, that name that is above every other name. And we bow ourselves humbly, Lord, our hearts, our minds, our wills, our devotion. We give our love, Father, back to the one who has given us love that we can never properly understand. Lord, I pray today that as a congregation of your people, as we are bowed in your holy presence, we be very, very conscious, Lord, of the Spirit's working in every heart. Father, we confess our sins, praying for a fresh cleansing, renewed fellowship, the blessing of Christ's atonement being applied to us. We are poor and weak in ourselves, Lord. We would stumble and fall and go quickly away if you were to leave us for a moment. Lord, we ask today that we will be carried along by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be enabled to worship in spirit and in truth. That, Lord, every distracting thing would be taken away. How silly and foolish our minds are so often. How easily distracted we are by someone fistling a paper or coming and standing someplace. Lord, give us focus in this solemn and sacred time of worship. Don't let the people who are at home watching online be distracted by the phone or any other thing. And dear Lord, we come to consecrate ourselves in this holy time. We pray, Lord, that for every thing that we have need of, for every petition we have asked of in this past week and month, year, as we open our hearts and come to approach the throne of grace boldly with the full assurance that we are welcome, Lord, to come, standing on redemption ground, standing justified by the full and free grace of our God. No one dare make us afraid to come. Lord, we are welcome, and we know that. And we want to approach with thanksgiving and with true earnestness and devotion and praise. And Lord, we ask that our prayers, sometimes we have to confess, selfishly motivated, sometimes praying out of the will of God. Well, Lord, I ask that our prayers would come directed by the Spirit, according to your holy will, and so that as we pray on the will of God, knowing that we are to be conformed to Christ, we pray that will be completed, well, at least furthered along today, Lord. Completed, we know it will be one day. Help us to be instructed from the Word, to receive handfuls in purpose from the Scripture, to be blessed, Lord, with blessing upon blessing, that you would keep us from sin, that you would cover and protect everyone in our fellowship and every family member that is associated here. Some, Lord, are unsaved. We pray for their salvation. Some, Lord, have drifted far away, having known the things of God and yet have rejected them now. Ah, Lord, bring them back, we pray. Draw them with your love. Draw, O God, we pray, with great compassion and mercy. How blessed we are, Father, We've been singing about our land, our nation, in a purely temporal sense, Lord. We have more blessings than any nation on earth. And yet, Lord, we must come today and confess our sin. We come to pray, Lord, for help. In wrath, remember mercy upon a nation and a land that has been given so much and yet has rejected so much. Lord, please have mercy upon us. Cause us as your people to come with renewed interest and enthusiasm and focus upon praying and laying hold upon thee for our leaders and for our nation. Help us, Lord, we pray today, for we stand in need of great and immediate, urgent help. Turn back that which is evil. Father, hear our prayer. Give to us leaders that have some sense. Give to us leaders that have been directed by the Holy Spirit, converted men. Converted people who will call upon the name of the living God. Lord, it seems that so often we are governed by children. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray, in our time. Hear our prayer. Hear our cry, Lord. Father, I pray that you would come near to everyone in our congregation, because there are so many needs represented. Some are sick, and we pray for their healing. Some have been bereaved recently, and we pray for their comfort. Some are facing unknown circumstances in the workplace, in the family, grieved over problems in the home, stresses and pressures on husbands and wives. The devil trying to break up families, Lord. Please, Father, come and give healing and help in our time. We want to be a bright witness, Lord, for you. We want our fellowship to be that which advances in spiritual things and not be going backward and sliding away. So, Lord, hear our prayer. Grant to us joy and blessing. Well, Lord, you've already given us that so much more. Sometimes we wonder, how could we ask for any more? Because we have received so much. Lord, help us to be good stewards of what we have received and not to squander them, not to ignore these blessings, and not to be unthankful receivers. Bless us as we continue in our worship, Lord, today. Hear our prayer. Lord, bless us in our special prayer time this afternoon as we think upon the needs of our nation. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're continuing in our worship now with Psalm 72, and this is a psalm that was put together by Isaac Watts, and he often would take the theme of the psalm and he would blend them with New Testament theology and wording and some very blessed things. Let's stand again as we worship. Isaac Watts wrote thousands of hymns, and as he went through and prepared hymns really through the Psalms, well, they have been a great blessing for the church in every time. We're going to read this morning congregational readings, Proverbs 29, verses 1 to 11. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. The fool uttereth all his mind, but the wise man keepeth it in till afterward. Well, the Proverbs have so much for us in every step of life. And these words that we find in the second verse of this one, I'll highlight them for you today. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. The people are happy. The people are contented. But when the wicked bear rule, there is mourning, sadness. Oh, sometimes the laughter of fools, like the crackling of thorns under a pot. But there is no true and lasting joy. But there is joy, my friends, in righteousness. And when there are righteous people in authority, then we can rejoice. And we should indeed be praying to that end. For this is the command that God has given to us. So let's pray to that end. Let's remember these words and pray them often before the Lord, both in thanksgiving and in the anticipation that he will answer that prayer and grant to us those things we desire from his hand. Very good to see you all today in the Lord's house. We're happy that you're here, and our prayer is always that the Lord will encourage your heart and will bless you. It's very good to see Esther and Chris with us today, visiting from Vancouver, to see Mom and Dad. It's very special. We're happy that you're here. And other visitors we might have today, if I don't have your name, nonetheless, you're very, very welcome. And also, everyone viewing our service online today, we want you to know you're very welcome. And we still have some of our own folks who are at home, and we understand that. And we want just to remember everyone before the Lord earnestly in prayer. We have some sick ones in our congregation, some elderly that are constantly in need of our prayers. And I remember speaking with Thelma and John Watson this past week, and also Richard. And Thelma is like the ever-ready battery. She She just keeps on going. She was at death's door about 3 weeks ago, but she has rallied and rejoicing and very coherent. I was able to speak with her on the phone, and she wanted to say thank God for all of the Lord's people and for everyone who's been praying for them. She is very, very thankful, and John as well, and Richard. So do remember them, please, continually before the Lord. Remember our sister Rowena. Rowena has not been doing well the last little while, and we want to pray for our sister that the hand of the Lord would be on her and bless her. And we, of course, continue to remember the number of families that have been bereaved recently in our fellowship. And we can hold up the Wagners as well in the loss of dear Kim just over a week or so ago. This past week has been a very busy one for our school. It saw the conclusion of all the online classes that have been going. And thank God for our teaching staff. We had graduation for the grade 8s on Wednesday, Thursday the grade 12s, and then a final staff meeting on Friday. And I was just thankful to be a part of all those, to be in attendance. But the burden, the lion's share of the work has been carried by the school administration, by the staff members, and certainly by the parents and students. It's been a tough call and a run for everyone. We take our hats off to them and pray that they will have a very blessed and holy rest in the Lord. He would strengthen them and build them up, and everyone, and do pray for our graduates, those that are leaving Whitfield now, the grade 12s, to go on to the next step of their education, that the Lord would bless them. We had a very special time on Friday when a number of people were recognized for some 10 years, some 20, some 30 years of ministry at the school, some retiring. And normally we'd have that time where we'd have the dedication service and all the parents and everyone would be there to share in that time of thanksgiving. But it was in the circumstances we're in, at least all the staff members were in the gymnasium, and it was a special time. And we want to commit every one of them with thanksgiving to the Lord for their faithful service to God's kingdom and for His work. Boys and girls, please remember again the Behind the Wall programs that are continuing on every Lord's Day throughout the summer. They'll be uploaded at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and you'll be able to watch those. And these are a 10-part series on the commandments. And I think you'll enjoy turning up to those. And thanks again to Daniel and to Rebecca. Do pray for them as they continue in this ministry. This afternoon at 4:50 will be a special hour of prayer. Well, hour and a half, really, for our congregation, our session, and our board. Normally, we have monthly prayer times with the session and board, and sometimes with the congregation as well. But we're going to unite together this afternoon on this special time of prayer. And our focus today will be on our nation. And I emphasize that today. We need every believer standing to the plow, pressing forward in this most necessary ministry and business. The time will be downstairs in our basement. And if you're able to come at 4:50, joining on Zoom, if that is your preference this afternoon, whatever the case may be, let everyone get to their knees in prayer. Everyone coming to call upon the Lord. We are in urgent times, and we must press these matters before the Lord. Our evening service will be at 6:30 as normal. And then do remember, please, this coming week on Tuesday night, the ladies' Bible study will be the final one before the summer break, and that will be at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Wednesday, our prayer meeting will be also on Zoom at 7:30. And then next Lord's Day, our service is at the regular time. Let me remind you that next Lord's Day is the anniversary, the 45th anniversary of the very first service that we held here in Toronto. Not in this church. It goes a long time before the meeting here in this building. But that will be some special recognition next Lord's Day morning. Dr. McClellan hopes to come and share some personal recollections, a testimony of that particular time. And do also remember, please, I meant to mention about the prayer meeting. Starting the 1st of July, we will be having in-person prayer meetings here in the church, but continuing also with those who desire to join via Zoom. Those are all the announcements. The offering plates are at the back on the table. If you would like to give an offering to the Lord's work here, please, you're welcome to do that. And as you're leaving today, thank you again for your faithful giving to the Lord's kingdom and work as it is unfolding here. Number 488, take the name of Jesus with you. Let's remain seated, please, while we sing. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Reading from verse 15. Down to 24. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast revealed these things, or hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Please join me in a word of prayer before we come to the Lord's word. Lord, now we have the Scripture open once again, and our prayer is for the help of the Spirit of God. Lord, we've already been admonished. If we have ears to hear, we must hear. And I pray, Lord, that the voice of the Holy Spirit would come down into the very depth of our being, into our hearts, to affect us, Lord, from the inside out. Lord, I pray for any who are unsaved in our gathering or online, that they will come to know Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. And I pray, Lord, there will be a word for every true child of Christ this morning. Help me, Lord, to speak the word faithfully, clearly, plainly. I pray your name, Lord, would be honored through our gathering now. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I placed a title on the message this morning called Canadian National Repentance, A Derailed Train. Canadian National Repentance, A Derailed Train. This coming Thursday, July the 1st, it marks Canada's 154th birthday. It was originally known as Canada Day, or Dominion Day rather, taken from Psalm 72, Verse 8, the psalm that we sang from. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. The name was changed in 1982 to become Canada Day, much to the disapproval of those who wanted to stay true to biblical roots and their British heritage. Our nation was founded upon the Word of God. Verses of the Bible are inscribed in stone inside the Peace Tower in Ottawa. The early years of the education system of our nation included Bible instruction, reciting the Lord's Prayer, teaching children the morality of God's law. Wherever we look in Canada, we find evidence of God's hand on the founding and the growth of our nation. We have in our national anthem these words, God keep our land glorious and free. And though verse 4 is rarely sung, its words give testimony to a reverence to God. Ruler supreme, who hearest humble prayer, hold our dominion in thy loving care. Help us to find, O God, in thee a lasting rich reward, as waiting for the better day we ever stand on guard. The French version of our anthem has these words, let us know how to be a people of brothers under the yoke of faith, and repeat like our fathers the battle cry, for Christ and King, for Christ and King. But now, these words are ignored, and God's Scripture is rejected, His laws are mocked, and Jesus Christ is either relegated to a classroom study of comparative religions, or simply trampled underfoot, used as a curse word, thrown back and forth underfoot. The Bible is not considered an authority to guide young lives, as once it was in our school system. The law of God that is summarized in the Ten Commandments as a way of life and order in society has been virtually outlawed. And the results are very clear. Our nation is a train wreck in the making. We are forging down the tracks, paying no heed to the warnings that a bridge is out ahead. It is not the case of God's judgment coming. His judgment is on us already. The rapidly growing anti-God, anti-Bible spirit, it's taken hold of popular opinion. The gospel witness that once reverberated from faithful churches has been, well, we could say, cashed in. For what? For relevant, popular, politically correct, the gospel that is more humanistic than it is Christ-centered. There's a term called practical atheism. It's a term that's been coined to describe people who, let's just say, give lip service to the existence of God, but live as if His Word is fiction, and that He really does not exist. It's a too common behavior, friends, in many many churches. What is needful now is a national repentance. For God calls every nation, every generation to repent of sin. This is exactly the situation that Christ found himself in Israel at that time that we have read of Chorazin, of Bethsaida, of Capernaum. He warned them about their unbelief. He warned them about their rejection of God, even though they had witnessed the mighty works by the very hand of Christ. But the greatest rebuke they received from the Savior was this, and we find that in the words of our verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Let those words sink down into your soul today, friend. They repented not. What was the state of the people that Jesus was talking about? Their condition was one of self-righteousness. We could say self-sufficiency. Perhaps they had made it on their own. And they were going to be able to continue because they had need of nothing. They were in themselves self-made people. They were going to keep going. And whatever the message of this Messiah was, they had rejected it. Christ had done many miracles in their very presence. They had witnessed with their own eyes. They saw the dead raised to life. They saw the paralyzed be able to get up and walk. They witnessed those who were blind. They were able to see. Little did they realize that they had planted the seeds of rejection and rebellion that were going to bring a harvest of disaster. Divine judgment was looming over Israel when Christ spoke those words. And it was brought to pass in a short number of years later when the Romans would come in and roll their machinery over Israel, and the temple was destroyed. And Christ had left the temple and declared what their end was going to be. My dear friends, the parallels, they are vivid for us today in our nation. For we have received from the Lord gospel blessings. We have a gospel heritage. The rich practical benefits that are upon our land, we could say it's a land flowing with milk and honey, for sure. Wealthy in natural resources. More fresh water than any nation on earth. We have received so much from the kind and gracious Creator. But we have sinned against Him and have not repented as a nation. And friends, I want us to think today upon those words that Jesus spoke to them, because they repented not. Believers, you know the Lord today here. Most of you are children of the King. Most here have come to the Lord and are rejoicing in the forgiveness of sins because you have repented of those in your own heart. But just as Daniel in his day when he received the prophecy of the fulfillment of the 70 years, he began to seek the Lord in prayer and said, "Lord, we have sinned." He included himself in those very times. Would you please notice this morning that God calls all men to repent of sin. God calls everyone to repent of sin. Why is that necessary? Simply because His law has been broken. God has given His law to men, and we have broken that holy, righteous law of our God. And the Lord has told us that the soul that sins, it shall die. And dear friend, today, unless a man repents of his sin, he will be separated from God for all eternity. Does the Lord say that word to you today, that He is grieved with you, my friend, because up to this point in time, you have not repented? This was the very grievance that Jesus had against those cities and peoples. They'd received much, but they had rejected much. And in that rejection, they had not repented. The very first message that our Lord Jesus preached was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that message of gospel invitation has been on the lips of preachers from the time of Jesus to this very day. And it will continue until Jesus returns again to this world. Oh, my dear friend, this morning, do not ignore the gospel entreaty. Do not ignore the words and the invitation that our Lord Jesus has given to all men everywhere to repent. The reason why men do not repent, maybe they say they don't believe, or perhaps they think, well, I really don't really have much to repent of. I'm pretty good myself, and therefore you're building up your self-righteousness. Or else, you go about to establish your own means of justifying yourself. That's exactly the criticism the Apostle Paul had against the Jewish nations. Romans 10 tells us that Paul said they went about to establish their own righteousness, and in so doing, they rejected the righteousness of God, which is Christ. Friend, don't fall into that trap. The devil's lie is saying to you, "You're all that bad. You might have done a few things, but really, don't sweat about the small stuff. Don't get worried about that. That's not so big. Surely a God of love is not going to destine you for hell because you've made a few little trip-ups." And that's exactly how Satan presents your sin to you. It's not that bad. But the problem is, friend, that you fail to see the enormity of transgression of yours before a holy God. We have offended, we have broken His law. And in the breaking of that law, His judgment is upon us. And yet, friend, we also know that God is calling His people to repent. Would that be necessary? Yes, it is necessary. Because judgment must begin in the house of God. And the Lord tells us in Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So yes, friend, there is a searching question that the Lord gives to us, His people. I'm always surprised, and probably shouldn't be, but thinking about the end of Joshua's life, and where he was saying to the people, after all that they had seen and witnessed of God's blessings, His deliverance, His provision, His victories, they had seen everything, my, and then Joshua at the end of his life has to say to them, think about this. What is right in your mind? You have to make a choice today. If God is God, then choose Him. But if you're going to surrender yourself to the God of your fathers, or how about this, the God of the Amorites in whose land you're presently dwelling, if you're going to worship them, then you go and worship them. But if the Lord be God, then serve Him today. And Joshua said, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. As for me and my house, we will be serving the Lord. We're going to be following Him. If you're with me, then we're going ahead, straight ahead. If you're not, you make your choice. But these people were not heathens. These people were the people of the Lord who had seen so much. There's a danger, friend. There's a danger for you and myself in the situation that we're in, being brought up in the gospel, being brought up with much gospel blessing, that we begin to take things for granted. We begin to take things as if they become, well, they're just common. And we don't really think about them too much. There's a danger of self-sufficiency in all of us. And that's why the Lord presses this word to every heart. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Because the vessels that bear the Lord's things in His word, that means every single Christian, in Isaiah 52:11, the vessels, the people who bear the vessels of the Lord must be clean, holy, sanctified. I shared with you recently a quote by a minister, J.R. Miller. He said, permitted sins always make men weak. Permitted sins always make men weak. This is for believers. Think about it, friend. It's so true. How can we expect to be an example of the holiness of God if we dabble in sin? Young believer, the Apostle Paul warned Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Cannot glorify God if you're dabbling in sin. And you know that sin today. The Spirit of God's putting His finger on your heart right now. You know what that is. And the Lord commands us, He draws us out to flee youthful lusts. But of course, it's not just young people it's talking about here. It is every generation under the canopy of God's salvation. Because we are failing and faltering, weak, and yet we must be careful not to blame those things, make excuses for ourselves by our own negligence, by our own sin. Perhaps other people are going to disdain the gospel. Other people are going to say, hey, if that person's a Christian, then I'm glad I'm not one. Or I certainly don't need to go down that way. Business dealings are off, the way they treat each other, and on the list goes. You've heard it before yourself. Yes, there's a need to acknowledge that we are to repent and to forsake those things that have grieved the Spirit of God. So there is God's call for men to repent, women, children, in every age and generation, in a general sense. He calls God's, our own people, to repent. But He calls nations, civilizations to repent, cities to repent, as He did to Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. What a striking parallel the Lord used. He said, Sodom and Gomorrah, that God judged for their great wickedness that boiled and the smoke came up to heaven. He said, if what had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, they would have been spared unto this day. Those are frightful and fearful words. Shocking. Friend, how much more will be said of our nation of Canada? How much more gospel light have we had in our day? And the command of God of all men everywhere to repent of sin. Notice in the second place that God gives ample time to repent. God gives ample time, lots of time, much time, mega time to repent. Because the Lord is long-suffering. He is so long-suffering. God had given to the cities he was dealing with at the day of Christ generations of prophets, priests, kings, to show them the way of truth. But they had rejected that light. And after hundreds of years of speaking and pleading through the Word, God sent His Son into the world. And in Hebrews 1, we're told that Christ Jesus is the last word of God to this world. He is the final word. He is the culmination of everything that the Bible has to say about God. He has revealed it through His Son. In these last days, from the time of Jesus until now, this is the time of Christ. And our Lord is the final word to this world. There will not be another Savior. There will not be another opportunity. There will never be another Calvary. Our Lord Jesus is the last word, friend. And God Himself, He has given time and space, an ample time and space, because our Lord is a God of great patience. He has been patient with us over and over again. And I say again to you, friend, if you're not a believer, think about it, the patience of God in your own life, your own heart. Would you consider today again the opportunity the Lord has given you to hear His Word? He's been patient with nations that have received gospel light. At one time gave public recognition to the gospel, to the authority of God. And the Lord is very slow to bring judgment. His mercy is higher than the heavens, and His long-suffering is so much more than any of us deserve. Friend, consider today, before you resist, consider today before you close your mind off and reject. You're ignoring the invitation that has come for salvation and for eternal life. Why do you delay? Why do you put off the saving of your eternal soul? Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now is the time, my dear friend, to repent. Now is the day of salvation. Yes, God calls all men to repent, and He gives ample time for repentance. And the third thought is this, that God is grieved with people and nations that refuse to repent. He is grieved about the matter. The Savior was troubled in His heart about the state of faith and religion, or the absence of faith in His time. because those people who were there had witnessed mighty miracles of God. They had witnessed the teaching of Jesus, the fulfilled prophecies of Him being said to be born in Bethlehem, and that's exactly where He was born. And yet they refused, after seeing miracle after miracle, testimony after testimony. It says that the Lord upbraided them. That's a word that we're not just quite so familiar with. We don't use that word anymore, to upbraid someone. What does that mean? The original word, it means to chide or to taunt them. Certainly to reproach them. And so our Savior, when He had finished that section of His teaching, He then turned His attention toward those cities with a stern rebuke, with stern reproach and taunt. This is coming from the lips of the meek and the mild Jesus. Why? Because of the ingratitude, because of the sullen attitude of those who had received much, but they had despised even more. They had despised the light more so than even the nations that had been governed by other leaders and religions. I ask you today this question: is God grieved with Canada? Has our land received gospel light? Have we been granted more light than nations that have been governed by false and heathen religions? The answer is obvious, friend, to all those questions. Yes. We are seeing the result today of the restraint of God being removed. That instead of advancing in right ways and leading by noble and moral biblical example, what is our land and nation doing? We are promoting every form of abomination, persecuting those who speak up for biblical truth, arresting pastors, closing churches, and promoting censorship, which I say to you will lead to the Bible being declared as hate speech. This is in the Parliament right now. Bills that are going to be put forward to control communication over the internet. And who will be policing all these things? Not God-fearing people. Friends, we are in a very serious time. Yes, God is grieved by the blatant unrepentance of Canada, because He calls all men to repent, because He has given ample time for our nation, because He is grieved with peoples that refuse to repent. And finally, today, God has provided the answer for man through Christ. The message of the cross that has been from 2,000 years ago, the message that brings hope to those who are hopeless. It brings healing to those who are incurably sick. It brings life to the dead and restoration to those that humble themselves under the mighty hand of our God and call upon Him in repentance and faith. It's in the cross, friend, where you will see the love of God for you. It shines there the very brightest for every people, every nation. It's the message of peace to a people that are overrun by anxiety and fear and confusion and disruption, which really epitomizes much of our land. Oh, I know, friend. We still see so many indications of blessing being poured out upon our nation. But don't mistake this. God's hand is being withdrawn. Because when that happens, as a result of a lack of repentance, you will see the growth of great sin and immorality. You will see the advancing of satanic forces. And this is in our day and time. Let's not be asleep about this. Let's be very much aware about it. So what are we to do? For the Christian, at times it can seem hopeless. Against the landslide of humanism and wholesale rejection of the morality of the Bible, of the normalizing of homosexuality, the promoting of the slaughter of innocent babies through abortion, and the robotic march down the road of universalism, all paving the way for the coming of Antichrist. Let's open our eyes, friends, today and see where we are in our generation and our time. But I say this to you today, and I proclaim that there is hope. Because in repentance, those who call upon the Lord now for salvation can be saved. And for a nation that will humble themselves before the living God, where will that come from? It won't come from the ungodly. It will only come from believers. It will only come from those who have been touched by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's where you and I come in now. Friends, we must be serious before God in our own prayers. We must be serious before God in our own Christian walk. We must hear the call of God in this way. Our Savior is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has not lost that position. The devil cannot remove Him from that place. Our sovereign God is still ruling and reigning in eternity. Let's make that very clear. And so therefore, we don't have to be distressed, frustrated, and cast aside, wringing our hands, thinking, no, that's not the Christian's stance. We are living in the victory of Calvary. We're living in the victory of a glorious sovereign King. Let us rejoice in that each day. But also not to stick our head in the sand and not realize what's going on around us. No. We see these matters, the signs of the times, and it's all the more reason why we are to get before God. And the reason why today's special hour and a half of prayer is focused upon our nations. Now, listen, we have other things to pray about, I know. We have sick people to pray about, I know. But let every believer come today with this focus upon our hearts. We're laying hold upon God for our nation, for our land. Praying for our leaders. Praying for their soul salvation. Praying that they will be changed from their evil and wicked direction, and the Lord would preserve us and raise up God-fearing men and women. Let that be the focal point of our prayer today. And take courage, believer, because God has promised to hear your prayer. We're not just coming to the Lord thinking, well, I hope God's going to be kind to me today and turn His ear. No, we are His children. He has told us, come boldly to the throne of grace. So we have every right. We're welcome in the presence of the Lord. Let's come with that authority of heaven. Pray, seek His face, humbly ourselves under His mighty hand, for He has promised to exalt us in due time. And why would we do such a thing? Just so that we can feel better? Just so we can go back to our lifestyle of the way we had before, of peace and happiness and so on? Friend, the reason behind it all is so that we will glorify God by seeing the extension of Christ's kingdom, by serving and living for Him. That's why. That's why God has called us here. Because in so doing, it may be that you and I have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it may be that we will avert our nation from that course of being a train wreck. For that bridge that's out ahead, let's call upon God to help us in this time of need. Friends, we'll bow now in prayer. Father, these words that we have read today, spoken by our Lord Jesus, echoed from the very court of heaven, Lord, we know that in mercy you've granted to us repentance at the cross, and we're thankful for it. Oh, Lord, you opened our hearts, and we give thanks today for that, and our prayer would be open thousands more, Lord. But open hearts today, here, in this very church, those watching online, Lord, do a work that we cannot do ourselves. Father, grant to us truly a heart of repentance. Have mercy upon our land. Restrain that which is evil, Lord. Give us fresh opportunities of sharing our faith with those that are on that rail to destruction, that we would see souls and lives changed. Hear our prayer today, Lord. We thank Thee for all Thou hast done for us. We're thankful, Lord, for every mercy and blessing we've received from Your kind hand. And so be with us now the rest of the Lord's day. Bring us back to our prayer time this afternoon for the evening service tonight in the joy and rejoicing and blessing of your holy presence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.